So I titled this talk "Intentional Pain?" question mark. So lately I've been hearing from various people about the wonders of ice cold water immersion. And this is like nearly impossible for me to fathom how people could do this, because I'm someone who's been colder than most people most of my entire life. I think it's genetic, so was my grandpa, so was my mom, and who can't warm up without immersion in hot water. So, this is sort of unfathomable. So I found this explanation in this book I'm reading, called Dopamine Nation: Finding Balance in the Age of Indulgence by Anna Lemke. And I talked about this book also on Sunday. And I also made it clear that I pull from these other references, be it other people's writings or often the dictionary, because I need prompts to get my Dharma talks going. So here we go. So this is a quote from the book. Michael's accidental discovery of the benefits of ice cold water immersion is an example how pressing on the pain side of the balance, that is the pleasure pain balance, can lead to the opposite of pain, pleasure. Unlike pressing on the pleasure side, the dopamine that comes from pain is indirect and so potentially more enduring. So how does it work? Pain leads to pleasure by triggering the body's own regulating homeostatic mechanisms. In this case, the initial pain stimulus is followed by gremlins, that's sort of her metaphor, hopping on the pleasure side of the balance. The pleasure we feel in our bodies, natural and reflexive physiological response to pain. Martin Luther's mortification of the flesh through fasting and self-flagellation may have gotten him a little bit high, even if it was for religious reasons. With intermittent set point gets weighted in the side of pleasure, such that we become less vulnerable to pain and more able to feel pleasure over time. So reading that really harkened back to many things I've read and experienced over my decades of Buddhist practice, about Buddhist monks and nuns and certain lay people who intentionally endure so much pain to benefit their spiritual life. What comes immediately to mind is the Tibetan Buddhists who are on that long 3-year, 3-month, 3-day, 3-hour, 3-minute retreat, and they sleep in a box the entire time. Now, I can't imagine sleeping if I was one of them, which is a small part of why I never did it, but I can't imagine how marvelous that must feel when it's over. And in fact, a much more modified version of this is how I went about my first meditation retreat. I did see it as a kind of endurance test, and although it created a lot of ill will towards myself, when it was over, I did have a big insight that actually has been my guide for the entire rest of my adult life. And that first retreat was when I was 29 years old. So back to the book, a quote again. With intermittent exposure to pain, our hedonic set point gets weighted on the side of pleasure so that we become less vulnerable to pain and more able to feel pleasure over time. Now, I think you probably all know, but in reflective meditation, we do not guide you either to the extremes of pleasure or pain. You may find them, but we're not guiding you there. Either, of course, not in guided meditation, but also in these prompts we give beforehand, these short talks. But we do guide you to learn to be with the pain and difficulties that arise in meditation, and to use psychological language to desensitize ourselves to it, to learn, use Buddhist language, or maybe it's much more than Buddhist, but to learn from it, to be better able to tolerate it, to not react so much to it, to not blame ourselves for it, to not think it's a character flaw, to not believe so wholeheartedly that this is who I am and that this will last forever. Maybe our hedonic set point does get weighed towards more pleasure as we're able to tolerate the pain that naturally occurs in our lives. That I don't know about, but it's an interesting question to me. Now, what I do know for more sure for myself is that I do not want to go looking for more pain to accomplish this. And I'm not going to suggest that you do that either. So, exercise comes to mind. And here's a quote from the book about exercise, which probably many of us know. Exercise is immediately toxic to cell, leading to increased temperatures, noxious oxides, and oxygen and glucose. Now, I'm a little more aware of this now because I'm involved in another round of physical therapy. And my physical therapist has really reminded me that it is optimal for me to do the strength exercises every other day rather than every day, so that on the day I do it, I damage the muscle tissue, and the next day it repairs itself to be hopefully even stronger. And that is the theory of strength training. What a complicated relationship there is between pain and pleasure. They are inevitably part of each other's existence. How we reach for one or the other in the pursuit of pleasure, and how each can go awry. So somebody at our questioning session recently said, "Is it all back to the middle path?" Well, that's what I do advocate for, especially in this situation. Rather than intentionally pushing the boundaries of pleasure and pain, but also not disassociating or being unaware or denying the pain that does exist, but really becoming more aware of it as you can when it's there. Most importantly, from our perspective, reflective meditation, see both the conditionality in the pain, there's conditions leading to our pain, and also the existential inevitability. We all feel pain sometimes. Same thing with pleasure. Pleasure is, see the conditionality in the pleasure. You know, it's not that we're this wonderful person or this pleasure will always last, although it is a bit of a trickster trying to tell us it will last. And also, I think it's existential inevitability. I think hopefully everybody experiences some pleasure. So beware of seeking too much pleasure because you might tip the scales to no longer perceiving pleasure at that same level when you're at that same level. But really, I encourage you to enjoy the pleasure that comes your way. And as I wrote this talk, I realized, I think I'm talking about receptivity to be able to receive what comes our way. And also the development of greater equanimity, which does develop in this practice when either pain or pleasure comes a knocking. And that is where I will end this talk for today. And as I look about the room, the Zoom room, I think I see a couple of new people, and I really want to wholeheartedly welcome you there, here.